Yeah, so let's do an aratosis. Okay? So, good. In theory, the question is, the big problem is how could you do harama? Right? How could Rav Avda do harama? Because our Gemara, we have a contradiction, really. Because our Gemara says that if you cook food on Yontif, let's say you don't have an Erev Toshilin, so if you cook food on Yontif, and you have leftovers for Shabbos, then you're allowed to eat that food. But you can't trek. You're not allowed to do harama. You're not allowed to pretend that you're cooking for Shabbos when you're really cooking for Yontif, and if you do, it's awesome. Right? But yet Rav Avda did a trek. Right? He apparently salted one meat, one piece at a time, and kept changing his mind. So it seems like you could do a trek. So which one is it? Right, that's the problem we have to deal with. So Rashi's answer was, well, this isn't really an Isser, it's only Tircha, and if you didn't let the guy do it, then he wouldn't have any food for Yontif, and he's doing the trick, and somehow all that, right? That's what we've explained the past 2 days. But Tosus learns, let's look at Tosus. So he says, Pirush Rashi, Uvachal Yarim, Yitzayin based on Tosus. Rishteik Teros, Sheyomar anit sarach lahaz min orchen, o yivo li orchen. Okay, that a guy would say that I have to invite guests, or maybe guests will come. But in one pot, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to make a trick and to add it. Right, that even from one day to Yontif to the next day, you're allowed to do that. It's funny how it calls that laharim. He's saying is you're allowed to do a trick and to fill up the pot all the way and then to cook. You know, because it's interesting how that's calling that harama, like a trick. You know? Because it's like... Yeah, that's interesting he's calling that. Because we said it's because it's one maisa. You know, it's one maisa putting the pot on the oven. But it sounds like, I guess, you're kind of hopping in the weekday stuff by the fact that you incorporate it into one action with the maisa of Yontif. You know? But I don't know, it's kind of interesting he's calling it a trick. Because that doesn't seem to be the idea of a trick, it's just halachically... It could be just a way that you could manage to cook stuff for Shabbos, even though you're not really allowed to cook for Shabbos. It's like it's a way to, so to speak, utilize the halachic system to accomplish the goal of having food for Shabbos, even though you didn't really place an Erev Toshilin. So in a certain sense, you call it a trick because you're getting around the halachic Erev Toshilin. The Erev Toshilin says if you don't place an Erev Toshilin, that's it. You can't cook for a Shabbos. And here's a way. There is a way. You could do a trick. Which is if you squeeze it into the action, the one action of cooking for Yontif, then you can end up doing it. So it's like getting around the Yisr, you know, based upon the technicalities, the way the thing has been formulated. You know? Like in a certain sense, so to speak, like you're preparing for Shabbos on Yontif. I mean, you are. But it's the way it's formulated is that it's a Maisa of, as a Heter for a Maisa Tzarech Yontif. So you're doing Maisa Tzarech Yontif and you're including other stuff, but it's one action, and by the one action, you're cooking for Yontif. So halachically, you can't answer it, but it's like a trick. You're getting around the problem. Okay, what are you saying? That you're allowed to do, because you're even allowed to do that to cook on Yontif Tichol. So he says, certainly you can use that to cook on Yontif Shabbos. Okay, fine. So he says, in Tomar, Maishna Meid Rav Avda, the Ma'arim Malach Yamagamah. So why is it different than Rav Avda who did this trick? Right, he apparently did harama. V'yishlom and shiny awesome. They have a ibur ochlem ba'alma, because it was merely ibur, reserving, salting of foods. Okay, ibur ochlem. U'mishum simchas yantif etiru, and because of simchas yantif, they permitted it. Okay, because simchas yantif they permitted it. The ilav achi. Because if we wouldn't permit it, a guy would be worried lest the meat is going to spoil. He's not going to slaughter. Right? But in our case, right, the guy who forgot to place an Erev Toshilin, we're talking about he wants to cook. The chamor. That's a chamor iser. That's a stringent iser. And also, he could have done something about it from an Erev Yontif. He could have just placed an Erev Toshilin. So he didn't. But we're not going to mahdi the thing because he didn't do that. He had a different way around it. But by the salting of the meat, he had no other way around it. Right? Because he said, it's not going to be fresh if you do it there. Okay. So, again, it seems like there's two facets to this answer. One of them is that it's ibud ochlim alma, that is merely salting foods, as opposed to bishol, cooking, which is chamor. Whatever that means, why is it chamor, we don't know exactly. And also he has this idea that if the guy, by the ibud, if the guy, if you don't matir it, then the guy is not going to end up shechting. But by the Erev Tavshilin, the guy could have done something about it beforehand. Like, you don't have that, first of all. You don't have the idea that he's not going to shecht. And also, he throws in that you could have done something about it. It's kind of three things. Right? The 3 points he's making. One is the difference between Ibud Ochlem versus Bishol, which is Chamor. Second of all, by the animal, he's not going to slaughter it, and he's going to knock out some Chizyantiv. And third of all, by Erev Tavshilin, he could have placed Erev Tavshilin earlier, beforehand. So that combination of factors is why it's permitted to do Harama by Rav Ada, but it's not permitted to do Harama by our case. Okay? Okay, now is he saying what Rashi is saying? Why not? Okay, that's what I think the first major difference between Tosfos and Rashi is that Rashi said the ain ibud ba'ochlem. There's no ibud, salting, preserving, no prohibition of salting by foods. But it is merely a tercha. Okay, it's merely a problem with tercha. Tosfos is saying, he's not saying ain ibud ba'ochlem. He's saying it's ibud ochlem ba'alma. It's only salting foods, as opposed to bishul, which is chamor. Bishul is a stringent esser. This is like, it stands to follow that this is a lenient esser. He's not saying because it's only tircha. He's not bringing in tircha. It sounds like he's not going like Rashi that there's no esser. There is an esser, but it's like a lenient esser, as opposed to a stringent esser. Right? According to Rashi, it's not bishul is chamor. It's not as pshat. It's that there's no esser of vibud by foods. It's a separate thing of tircha, and bishul, you can't compare that to bishul. Bishul has nothing to do with it. Bishul is a real esser. But again, according to Tosfos, it seems like he's learning, like Rabbi Yehuda is asking on Rashi, is that you can't just make ibud into ibud of ochlam into mutter. It's not mutter. It's asr. It's not darabanan. But it's ibud ochlam ba'alma, which is, he's talking about it in some sort of disparaging way. It's only ibud of foods, right? As opposed to bishul, it's chamor, which we have to explain. What does he mean by that? What's the difference? But he's not saying, there's a difference between saying there is no ibud by foods versus saying it's only the isser of ibud ochlam. You know, it's merely salting foods. And that's what he says, and not only that, he says, ibud ochlam ba'alma is merely salting foods. And because simchus yantav, they were matir. He's not just saying there is no isser and it's only tircha, and therefore it's not tircha altogether, like we were saying, you know, that it's simply not an isser of tircha, because here it's in the front cover of the yom. He's saying, no, the rabban were matir you. They permitted it because of simchus yantav. Because the guy wouldn't, because otherwise the guy wouldn't shecht it. So saying, oh, so why don't they permit this? So they're saying, it's over here, they didn't permit it by bishul, because it's chamor, and he could have done it beforehand. So what's his idea here? And two things, two points to us. One distinction is stringent versus lenient esser. What's that idea? And second thing is, what's his other idea that it's saying is that by the salting, simchas yantav, a guy otherwise wouldn't really do simchas yantav, so we matter. But by the cooking, so he could have done it. He could have done a place in Eretz Yisrael beforehand. So why is that relevant? He could have, but he didn't. He didn't place it beforehand. So why? Who cares that he could have? But he didn't. The bottom line is, right now he's stuck in a situation. Right. Maybe let's take that one up first. I feel like that's gonna be a little easier. Yeah. Ask is by Eretz Yisrael also. If the guy don't the guy cook, he's not gonna have simchas yantav. Or he's not gonna discover Shabbos. That's not the end of Shabbos. He's not gonna own a Shabbos. He's not gonna let him cook for Shabbos. He's not gonna go over Shabbos. Cover owning Shabbos. So he's saying is that if you don't allow him to do salting, he's not going to have a berakas on Chas Yontif. But if you don't allow him to cook, he's not going to have onik Shabbos. So what's the difference? Right?
Why can't he just roast the animal right after he shucks it?
Right where? On Yontif? On Yontif?
Yeah. What's he going to do with the old
cat? Which case are you talking about? By the salting case or by the other case?
I'm saying like the guy shucks the animal, so instead of salting, just preserve it by...
Oh, because he's going to have to cook the whole animal.
What?
Because he's going to have to cook the whole thing. He only wants one piece. I mean, it's not going to be good for the animal. It's not for the long-term health of the meat. You don't want to cook it and save it for a month. I mean, the best thing is to salt it and preserve it. Yeah.
But technically,
I think that's why Tosfos has to go into the fact that he couldn't. He could have done it beforehand, because the argument is that Simchas Yontif, the guy's not going to have Simchas Yontif if you don't allow him to salt it. He's not going to have onik Shabbos if you don't allow him to cook. So what's the difference? That's why he has to say, "Oh no, the guy could have placed it beforehand." Well, what's that argument? He could have placed it beforehand. What's the sense of that? But I think it's just simple, that part. That part is basically saying is, look, there's an Isser. There's an Isser of cooking without an Eretz Hashil, and there's an Isser of doing salting. But what are you going to do? This is the Rabbana. Rabbana has set up an Isser. But, like, what is a guy supposed to do in order to have some pasyanta? Okay? What's he supposed to do? He's going to see an easy shucked an animal. He wants fresh meat. That's part of some pasyanta, to have fresh meat. So he's going to shucked an animal. But he can't say guy's chayav to throw out a whole animal in order to have some pasyanta. That's not a reasonable to demand of a person. So the only way to do it is if you allow him to salt it. So it's saying, since it's only the Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon were matir because Simchas Yontif. Like, the Rabbanon's role is to protect the Torah. And now Simchas Yontif is the Raisa. So the saying is that since the normal case is that a guy is not going to be able to really have Simchas Yontif with this Esser, the Rabbanon of salting in place, so the Rabbanon were matir. Okay, the Rabbanon were matir. But by Erev Tov Shilin, what's the problem? The guy is perfectly able to cook on Yontif for Shabbos and have only Shabbos. He plays an Erev Tov Shilin. Now, you know a guy who forgot to place an Erev Tov Shilin? And now what? Now we're going to set up a matir for that guy? There's an Esser in place. We don't set up a matir for a guy who just forgot something. So that year, look, that Shabbos, he's going to have a hard time. He's not going to have a lot of Shabbos. But next year, he'll learn his lesson. It's not going to happen again. So we're not going to be matir and Esser because of a happenstance of a guy who forgot, who is on us, whatever it is. It's a happenstance of an exceptional case. But the case of the salting of the meat is a guy, the normal case. If a guy wants to come as Yontif, there's no real way to do it. So it's saying it's not legitimate, it's not a good idea to have an Issur Rabbanan in place, which is basically going to prevent, categorically, is going to prevent Simchas Yontif. So the Rabbanan were not to that Issur. Together with the fact, this is the next part we have to explain, is that it's a lenient Issur anyways. Versus Bishul, which is a Chomer Issur. Right? And there are two things, which is, see, Tosfos is learning, not like Rashi. Tosfos is learning, it's like the Rabbanon were matir the thing. And Rashi doesn't use that language. He just says that it's only Tircha, and therefore this is better. Like, he's just learning, you're assessing what's the proper way to relate to Kavod Hayom, because he's learning it's not a real Issur. So there's no he doesn't matir or anything, it's just it's not a break in Kavod Hayom, because you're doing it for Simchas Yontif. Tosfos is learning, no, there is an Issur. There's a real Issur of Yibud, but they're matir. They're matir, so why are they matir here? They're not matir there. Right? See, according to Rashi, by Tircha, there's no real Isser, just an Isser in terms of the Kavod Hayom. So therefore, there's no question about by Shabbos, that's a real Isser. So of course, there's not going to be a matir. But according to Tosfos, that they're saying is that they matir, there's a real Isser, but the Rachas all came along and matired it because the guy needs a Simchas Yontif, and he has to ask, so why didn't they matir this other thing also? So he has to say, well, first of all, we're matir an intrinsic thing. We're not matir because of an exceptional case where a guy has a problem. Second of all, this is ibud ochlim ba'alma. This is merely salting, meats, foods. And then it's an isser bit chamor. That's an isser bishul, which is chamor. But the question is, what is that? What's pshat in that? What does he mean by that? Right? What's that distinction? Yeah. Bishul is chamor. Why is Bishul more chamor than Ibud Ochlim? What's that, There's two approaches here. I mean, we could just kind of sit back and try to figure out what's the difference between this Isser of Ibud, why Ibud Ochlim Alma is lenient versus Bishul. you know, and try a log there. But like Max starts with, well, what is Ibud? What's Ibud Ochlan? Well, he said, why is Ibud Ochlan any different? What's the idea of there's no Ibud by Ochlan? By food. So what's going on here? We don't even know anything about this thing. So we're just going to try to sit back and guess why this is a lenient this and that's a strict this, right? I guess we know about Bishel from Yom Shabbos, as we've been doing all year. It was all about this, you know, about this, there, Toshil, and this, Darban, and all that. But so we know one piece of the picture, but we don't really know the other side, which is that he's claiming Ibud Bochum Alma. Right? So, I mean, again, there's two ways to take it. So you could try to sit back and figure out what he's doing. You know, try to come up with an idea, but in a certain sense, we're severely handicapped in going at it that way. You know, so I think it would be wise, you know, whenever you're learning, you have to decide how much you want to go and decide to go into other sugyas. I mean, I'd say there's a few approaches you could take. I mean, two approaches in theory you could take is one is try to think about it a little bit. If you don't get anywhere, then just move on because you don't know enough about it. Maybe you have to know all about that sugya in order to really resolve this problem. Maybe not. Maybe you come up with something anyways, you know. So in theory, you could try to think about it and see where you get. I wouldn't put hours into the thing because it could be you're missing some crucial facts, you know. Or you could just say, whatever, move on. I don't know, that's not my sugya. You know, it's a different area, we're not doing that area. And those must mean something. Rashi also had that problem, right? I mean, that was also a problem with Rashi, the Bikiriga's problem. What do you mean there's no Ibud Bochum? Isn't there? I thought there is. Right? The other option is to look into the sugya a little bit. So I'm kind of leaning towards that. I happen to look into this again a little bit, and it's kind of interesting. So maybe we could, maybe we should look into it a little bit. But we're going to digress a little, you know. But it's interesting, anyways. It's always good to get just a little knowledge about another one of the Malachos of Shabbos, you know, that you don't know anything about. So let's this is Gemara in Shabbos. At the very least. We should at least know something. You know, what does this mean, Ibud of Ochlan? What are we talking about? Right? I mean, it's kind of just Hebrew words, or you can translate it to English. But what's going on? What does that mean, Ibud of Ochlan? So the basic, what is Ibud? Okay, so Ibud is tanning. Tanning is a process that they used to do to hides, animals, right? And you salt them, and you whatever, put chemicals, you know, different chemicals or whatever. It's a process whereby you dry out the hide and you make it into leather. And now it's able to, it doesn't rot. It's not just the rotting or whatever. But it's, now you can make it into leather. Now it becomes leather, right? I mean, you dry it out, it becomes like this, whatever. It's workable, now you can use it for clothing or whatever. So now, but the process is basically like dehydrating it using sulfur. So in theory, you could have a similar thing by foods, right? You basically have your food, your meat, or whatever it is. And you need it to last. It's going to spoil, so you dehydrate it using salt. Right? So that's the Gemara is the case. And it's a Gemara in Chag Adam, Ayin HaMeves. So the case is in, it's Ayin HaMeves in the Shabbos. It says, it's a short case. It basically just says, I'm a Rabba Barahuna. So Rav Aruna says, if you salt meat, you're chayev for Ibud, from Abed. Okay, chayev, this is a deraisa. This is a deraisa of Ibud. Okay? Salt, you could salt a hide, you could salt meat. What's the difference? Shabbos, I am a base. Shabbos, 75B. Okay? Rava Amar, Ain Ibud Ba'achalim. Okay? There's no Ibud by foods. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so that's what he says. Ain Ibud Ba'achalim. There's no salting. There's no Ibud. There's no tanning by foods. Okay? Amar Rashi. V'afilu Rava Bar Avuna. Even Rava Bar Avuna, who said there is, who said Yechai V'chatas, Lo Amar Ella Dekaboi Leila Orcha. He's only saying that if you need the food, the meat, for the road. If you're preserving it for long term, for going on the road, that type of preserving, that's what he's saying. But if it's just for your house, to preserve it in your house for a few days, that kind of preserving, you're not chayav chatas. Why? Because lo mashvi inish mechle eats. A person doesn't make his food into wood. Okay, apparently, what do you mean? What does that mean? A person doesn't make his food into wood.
Doesn't do it to the same extent.
Doesn't do it to the same extent, right? The real salting, Rashi says, of the road, it's a very, very intense salting process. And basically, you dry it out, it becomes like wood. Right? That a guy's not going to do. In his house. If he's going on the road and he needs it for a long time, he's going to dry it out, it'll become wood. And then afterwards, when he's on the road, he's going to have to somehow reverse the process, or I assume it's not going to be that good, but whatever. He doesn't have a choice. He needs it on the road. He needs food. I don't know if there's some sort of process that undoes it, but it hydrates it, soaks in water, whatever it is. I assume it's not so great, but whatever. He's going to do that. But in general, if a guy is at home and he just needs it for a few days, he's not going to do that. That's a serious process. It makes the thing into wood, basically. It becomes like an edible. Even afterwards, it becomes whatever. If a guy's not going to do that. So the type of ibud which you do in your house is not the type of ibud which he's saying Yechayv Chatas for. Okay, that's not really the real ibud. So when Rabbi Ravuna said Yechayv Chatas, he's not talking about that. He's only talking about the road ibud. Okay? But the other position, I guess Rava says ain't ibud b'chalom, period. Even the road salting, ain't ibud b'chalom. There simply is no ibud by foods. Okay? Okay, that's machlokas. Okay, do you say there's definitely ibud by hides? Machlokas is there ibud by foods? Definitely, if you just do the regular household salting, that's not it. Okay, that's not it. Machlokas is if you do the real deal salting. Okay, so from this sugya it seems like we paskin that ain't ibud b'chalom. Okay, but that's what Tosfos says. Don't conclude from here that you're allowed to salt. You're allowed to salt foods, because there's an issur derabanan on a different sugya in Kuf Chas Amud Beis. So there's still another issur derabanan. So this is the deoraisa level we're talking about here. We're not talking about derabanan. We're talking about deoraisa is what this discussion is. Okay. Good. So let's. So I think what Mar's saying is good. Okay. Where Yonah is headed also is that what's the definition of ibud? Okay. What's the definition of ibud? Is ibud a process, a malacha of ibud? Is it preserving an item? Okay, it's using salt. I mean, it's using salt or chemical, whatever. But it's a process of preservation. Okay? But it has to be, it's preserving it for a day isn't preservation. So you're saying it has to really be like a qualitative, it has to have a certain quantity of the thing. That you're really drawing the thing out, like in a full manner. Again, you just put a little salt on something, that's not really, that's not it. It's a shear. So ibud, it could apply to foods, but in general, a person is, it's a real, in general, the person's hesitant about preserving his food because he wants to eat it. So, but it's really a process of, like, of preserving it for the long term. There's an idea of you make a thing undergo a process in order so it lasts for the long term. Okay, so that's what you do to the skin. You want the skin to last for a long time, so you preserve it. And you want the food to last for a long time, so you preserve it. If you go on the road, if you're going short, then that's not it. That's lacking in quantity. It's a quantity. It's a dinner like a shear. It's a quantity. It has to be a certain degree of preservation. You see by the what's it called? It's by skin. It's the process of preservation. It's a real preservation. The full blown. What you're saying is by the meat is in general the person isn't going to do that to his meat because you're really drawing it out seriously. You know, there's not in general not going to do that unless he's going on the road. He has to. But essentially, the definition is long-term preservation. Whereas that's Rava Ravuna. But what Rava learns now is that it's not really preservation. The malacha of ibud is where you're using salt to change, to create a new chafta. And what do? You take a hide, and you're making it into leather. Or you're taking skin, and you're making it into leather. So the process of the salting it, it's true, it lasts longer. But that's not... But how long it lasts for is not the malacha. The idea is not just making something last longer, it's transforming it into a different object. And so you take a skin and transform it into leather. Now, in theory, you'd say, let's say you're taking your food and transforming it, but no one transforms their food into something else. It's true you want to dry it out so it will last a very, very, very long time. But ultimately, you can't say that you're taking away the shame of food, because you want it to be a food. I mean, what are you doing? You don't transform your food into a decoration. That's not the idea of the thing. The idea of drying it out is just to hold it over for a long time so its status of a food could be realized when you get hungry on the road. So you're not changing. According to Rava, Bishel Ibud is creating a new chafta via salting. Okay, whereas again, Rava Huna is saying it's nothing to do with creating a new chafta. It's simply it's a process of preservation, so the preservation could exist by foods as well. It's just that you have to make sure you do it in the full extent. Let's say we paskin, which it seems like we do, we paskin like Rava, in Ibud Bachal. Okay, there is no Ibud Bachal. Foods don't have Ibud. Ibud is a process of changing it to something else, and that's not it. That's not it. Okay. But there's another Gemara which says is that the Rabbanon, that's what Tosa says, don't think you're allowed to do this thing because there's still Nesed Rabbanon to salt foods. Okay, it's Nesed Rabbanon. Because, arguably, because it's like similar to Ibud. So there's different ways to explain why it's also Rabbanon. The simplest way to say it is even though it's not really Ibud, because Ibud is really where you're using the salting process to create a new chafza and food, you're not doing that, but it's similar to it that you're using the price, it's like you're using the form of Ibud, even though it's not really Ibud. So it's like similar to it. So the Rabbanon, prohibited it, but it's like a new Esser. Right? It's like, no, it's not really the Esser of Ibud. I mean, Ibud is really where you're creating new chafta, not creating new chafta. But in form, it's the same as Ibud. You're taking salt and you're drawing the thing out. So now it's true. It, in a year from now, you're going to end up eating it and whatever, and thereby, it's not really the same thing. You're not changing the chafta. But in the appearance of the thing, it's doma to Ibud. Right? It's doma to Ibud. It's similar in form, and that's what the Rabbanan makes zeros on those kinds of things. Right, some people get confused. It's going to lead to problems. So basically, they said is you can't involve yourself in the process of Ibud, even if its underlying creativity is lacking. But you're doing the same process, so you can't be preserving either. Preserving food is also prohibited in the Rabbanon. Okay, so if that's the case, again, this is not Rashi. Rashi learns there's no real Isser, but Tosus learns there's real Isser in the Rabbanon. Seems. So if that's the case, could we understand? What's the deal with what's the answer here of the Tosfos that it's Ibud Ocholim Ba'alma, merely Ibud Ocholim versus cooking, which is stringent. Okay, I'll leave you with that question, and I'll also leave you with another problem: is that again, according to Rashi, remember Rashi said there's no Ibud Ocholim; it's merely Tircha. Okay, so the problem is that this is why they reject the Rashi, or they ask on Rashi, is there's Gemara in Kof Chas, which says you're not allowed to salt meat. You're not allowed to salt meat and eggs. Okay, and that's why it tells us the Lashon Rabbanan is a different Gemara. So the Gemara in Ayin Hay was saying there's no Eini Ibud Ocholim. But the Gemara in Kof Chas on Beis says there is an Isser of the salting. So Ryan, there's Rashi there. So I think this Rashi is going to help us, but we have to explain it. Ein Molchin Snonu Beitza. He says, you know, that's salt, leeks and eggs. He says, Gimel v'dalet chatichas yachad. You can't salt three or four pieces together. Shehamelech me'abdan, because the salt, tans them. V'na'asin kashin, and they become hard. They have a tikkun. And it's like a fixing. Fixing. Okay? And he said, like, remember masakin? There's like a sort of like fixing things. Is that fixing things is malacha. So he says also in the Mishnah, he says the kulnus la iser mimneshu kim me'abed misakin es ochal anasu mesecha. It's like me'abed in that you're fixing the food in order to misakin the ochal in order to last. Okay, it's kim me'abed. Okay, it's like you're salting it. And he's saying it's like misakin, you're fixing it. So my question is what, if you tell me it's also to salt it because it's like you're fixing it, So then why is it only us that it's sold three or four pieces? What does he mean? Rashi says three or four pieces at a time. What kind of issue is that? And if it's also the salt, also the salt. Who cares how many you do? Right? He's saying is that's what she's saying is. And remember, in our case of Ravada, you're not salting three or four pieces, right? You're doing one at a time. So it could be that's how he held his mother. That this Gemara here is only us, or the way Rashi learned this Gemara here is only us to salt three or four pieces at a time. But what kind of thing is that? I mean, if you tell me it's also because it's salting and it looks like salting, or it's like you're fixing it, then it should be also one piece. But I think perhaps this is a route to try to explain Rashi, you know? So that's Gemara and Kof Chasam Beis. If you want, you can look at the Rashi. So there's could we resolve Tosos first of all? What's his difference about Yehuda Chalamama versus Bishol, which is Talmud? And then could you explain Rashi about what he means that it's only us to sell three or four pieces together because it's like you're fixing it. It's like Yibud. Okay. Okay. So it's tomorrow's Thursday, right? So I guess we should probably finish the week on this one.